We're recording.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the December 12, 2023 Thurston County Land Use Hearing Calendar. I am hearing examiner Sharon Rice. I'm an attorney who works as a hearing examiner on contract with about 13 or 14 cities and counties, most of which are along I-5 in Western Washington. I have been appointed by the Thurston County Commissioners to provide hearing examiner services, and that appointment gives me jurisdiction to hear and to decide the items on today's agenda. Here at 10 o'clock, we are considering a shoreline conditional use permit for a retaining wall. At 11 o'clock, we have a plat and a variance. I have some instructions on how to participate, so please bear with me as I go through that information, which is necessary for you, and also to make sure all the information is in the record. Anyone who needs to get my attention today, you should call me Ms. Rice or Examiner Rice. If anyone has requests on how they should be addressed, please let us know when you first testify, but please know I won't use first names. It's a legal proceeding, so I will be more formal and use last names. Today's virtual hearing is being conducted on Zoom, and Zoom is making a recording. It is actually a required part of the legal record of today's hearing, the audio portion of that recording. Because the audio must be perfectly audible on the recording, I do ask folks to help me out in the following ways. I tend to ask people to keep their audio muted when they're not testifying, because that way, if your dog barks or your doorbell rings, it won't come across and interrupt somebody else's testimony. I also tend to ask folks if you have a cell phone or other phone with you, could you please silence it or do whatever you can to control the things that make noise in your environment? That way, we can hear everything you do say when you testify, and we won't have to ask you to repeat yourself. Just want to remind folks that despite the fact that we're having a virtual hearing here today, by the way, I do have virtual hearings everywhere where I work. But despite the virtual format, this is a legal proceeding, and so we do need to comport, all of us need to comport ourselves with a modicum of formality, although you will find I am not terribly formal, and cats are welcome, just so you know. There's one on my desk right here, another may join us. As we go through today, I also need to say this. There's been some news media lately about interruptions at public hearings, and so I just want to remind folks, it is the hearing examiner's job to conduct an efficient, effective hearing. Part of that is crowd control. And in the virtual context, crowd control will involve asking the hearing clerk, Ms. Sonia Katie, to mute folks who are creating inadvertent and/or repetitive audio interruption for us. If at any point we have somebody who I deem is intentionally disrupting the hearing, I will ask for her help in removing people from the meeting. So just keep in mind, I have that authority and I will use it if it's necessary. As we go forward, I do need to ask folks to testify one at a time. If you need to interrupt, please give us a hand signal and try to warn us that you're going to verbally interrupt. Because, of course, the recording needs to hear everything that everybody is saying. And so, if you would help us, please try to testify one at a time. When you first speak, I will ask you to state and spell your name for the record. And then, for staff members or professional consultants, I will be asking folks to give me your complete correct job title for the record. And I will ask everyone to please take an oath to tell the truth before you provide any substantive testimony. And if you start in on that without having been sworn in, I will interrupt you. So please bear in mind, I will make sure everyone's under oath before they testify. In the state of Washington, the Appearance of Fairness statute adopted by the state legislature applies to land use hearings. That law requires the decision maker to be free from bias or prejudice. So in both cases, I will be the county's final decision maker and the finder of fact and issuer of a final decision. And because that's true, I'd like to make the following disclosures. Again, I work on contract for Thurston County and several other governments. I am not a county employee. I don't own property, and I don't have family or friends who own property that is near the subject properties for these two projects. And I have not had conversations with anybody, not staff, not applicant, and not members of the public, regarding the merits of these two projects, whether or not they comply with the criteria for approval. And so, because all of those things are true, I believe I am capable of issuing impartial decisions in both projects before me today. Please understand, the state law says anyone who thinks they have grounds to challenge my impartiality is required to raise that challenge at their first opportunity. And if you're at this hearing, that would be your first opportunity. One other land use law tenet that applies may not be too crucial in this case, but everyone should know. I just want to make sure people understand, land use permits are not decided based on popularity. What I mean is, the number of people who might be for or against a permit is not evidence of compliance with the criteria for approval. So as the county's decision maker, I am charged with independently reviewing the evidence and determining whether it succeeds in demonstrating compliance with the permit criteria for approval. If it does demonstrate compliance, then I have no authority to deny a permit. If it fails to demonstrate compliance, I have no authority to approve a permit. And whether there are 50 people for a project or not, I can't approve a project that doesn't meet the criteria. And conversely, if there's 50 people against a project, if it does meet the criteria, I can't deny it. So please understand, the number of people is not evidence. All testimony in this hearing today will be the most relied upon and the most persuasive to the extent that it speaks to the permit criteria for approval. In an application for land development, the applicant is the party with the burden of proof. That legal term simply means the applicant is the one whose job it is to provide evidence that does demonstrate criteria for approval have been satisfied. I point that out because in terms of order of testimony, I do hear from county staff first. It's not because it's their burden of proof. It's because they are the ones who are more familiar with the land use codes and regulations that apply, and they are frequently more familiar with the hearing process. So I will hear first from county staff. They will present their analysis of the application materials to me. And during the course of staff's testimony, I will have questions for county staff members. After we hear from county staff, we'll go to the applicant. During the applicant's presentation, you, sir, have the opportunity to make as full or as small a presentation as you think is necessary to make sure that the evidence demonstrating compliance with the criteria for approval has been brought to my attention. I will also have questions for you, and you have a chance to offer any testimony you think is relevant to any questions I have asked or to any issues you think are outstanding of interest with respect to those criteria for approval. You can challenge or add to anything county staff says during their testimony. When we're done with both of those presentations, I will ask for Ms. Katie's help in determining whether we have members of the public who wish to testify. Right now, it looks like that number of people is zero, but people can join at any time. So I will check in with her. If there is public comment, I will accept it. And then after we have public comment, there would be an opportunity for response and also a last call for comments from both parties, first from staff and last from applicant, because as the party with the burden, they get the last say in these proceedings. After those responses, we are typically done with the hearing, and I will close the hearing. At the end, we will have a little housekeeping session. During that session, we will identify any additional exhibits that have been offered and admitted during the hearing that haven't been previously provided. So I will make sure to call out anything else we've admitted, and we'll make arrangements for anything else that's offered and admitted to be sent to me via Ms. Katie. Also at that time, we'll discuss the post-hearing schedule. Because virtual hearings present the opportunity for technology to thwart participation, it is my practice to hold the record open at the end of each hearing for a brief period, and that is 2 business days, to allow post-hearing written public comment from folks who had technology problems and therefore were unable to participate in the hearing. That means the hearing will end today, but the record will be held open at least 2 days for post-hearing public comment. If we get none, the record would close on that day, the second day, and then the decision issuance deadline would run from that. If we do receive post-hearing public comment, both staff and the applicant will be requested to respond in writing to that written comment, and you will also have 2 business days to do that. So this creates a schedule, graduated schedule, and we will go over those dates in detail at the end of the hearing. Last thing I will do before we hear staff's presentation is I will acknowledge the exhibits that were provided to me before today's hearing. As always, the Community Planning and Economic Development Report to the Examiner will be Exhibit 1 for our record, and on the last page of Exhibit 1, the staff report, there are attachments identified, attachments A through P. I will spare you the reading of that list. Please rest assured I have reviewed all documents. Exhibit 1 and attachments A through P are admitted. In this matter, I think those are the only documents I have received, but if I'm wrong, I will ask staff to point out anything that I have overlooked. With that, could I please ask planning staff to unmute? Please state and spell your name for the recording. Give me your appropriate job title and let me swear you in.
Abby Adams, ABBIE, Adams, ADAMS, Associate Planner with Thurston County Community Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you very much. If you would, raise your right hand to take the oath. Okay. Do you swear or affirm that your testimony today will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you very much. Left hand can work, but you know, right hand is tradition.
This is project 2019-103224 Bologna Conditional Use Permit. The subject parcel is located at 5725 Sunrise Beach Road, Northwest, Olympia, Washington, 98502, also known as Tax Parcel 139-363-40700. The applicant is requesting an after-the-fact conditional use permit for replacement of a retaining wall. The wall is approximately 10 feet inland from an existing bulkhead, and the retaining wall measures 83 feet long and 5.14 feet tall. The retaining wall is built into the steep hillside of the property. The original wall was built with cottage stone to increase and maintain bank stabilization. The replacement wall was built with 13 by 6 stacked interlocking cottage stones with the same footprint as original retaining wall and further provides bank stability. The property is located within rural Thurston County in the residential Lambert 1 dwelling unit per acre. The property is in the rural shoreline designation of the Shoreline Master Program for the Thurston region. The subject parcel is 1.08 acres in size and contains a single family residence and accessory structures, including a boathouse along the shoreline. Single family development is permitted within the rural shoreline environment, subject compliance with policies and regulations of the SMPTR. Properties in the vicinity are developed primarily as residential, consistent with zoning. The unpermitted replacement retaining wall and boathouse re-roof and residing was discovered through a building permit application for interior remodel of the existing residence. The county requested the applicant to submit requests for the after-the-fact permits of this work. The applicant stated the cost of the project was $2,500, therefore not requiring a shoreline substantial development permit. A shoreline substantial development exemption was approved for the boathouse repair that included the re-roof and the re-siting. That was approved in July of 2020. A retaining wall is not considered a normal appurtenance and is not classified use within the SMPTR per WAC 173-27-30, number 4. Therefore, a conditional use permit is required and requires a hearing examiner approval. The project was determined to be category exempt from CEPA review. There is no grading or in-water work involved with the project. The construction of the retaining structure within a steep slope requires the property to comply with Thurston County Critical Areas Ordinance and Shoreline Master Program for the Thurston County region. The area is defined as a geological hazard area. This applicant submitted a geotechnical report, attachment I, for the property. The geotechnical report discusses existing and pre-existing site conditions and provides recommendations. The project appears to meet the standards of the critical area code, and a replacement wall is permitted, subject to a critical area review permit. This would be completed through the building permit for retaining wall. Typically, mitigation would be required for new retaining walls. However, the replacement wall did not increase the development footprint or cause significant environmental impacts. The ivy-covered bluff restricts the opportunity to provide meaningful mitigation, and removing the ivy would destabilize the 80% slope. Therefore, the county has not requested a mitigation plan. The retaining wall is located within the 100-year floodplain of the Puget Sound, which triggered a requirement for a habitat assessment, attachment P. The habitat assessment was reviewed and approved by Thurston County biologist and associate planner Heather Chakowski. Staff finds the project is consistent with the policy and provisions of the Shoreline Management Act and Master Program. There will be no structures over 35 feet in height or other structures which would impact views. Building standards for the retaining wall shall be confirmed at the time of building permit review. Per conditional use criteria, the proposed use is consistent with the policies of RCW 90.58.020. The purpose of this project is to protect and stabilize a steep bank below an existing residence. The project has little to no impact as the wall was a replacement. The project creates very little, if any, new impervious surface and should help limit erosion to adjacent shoreline. Projects of this nature should not be common and should only be necessary when repairing or preventing landslides or erosion. There should be no impact to public resources. There should be no water quality impacts on as construction shall utilize best management practice for debris removal and erosion control. In general, public interest suffers no detrimental effect from the replacement retaining wall on a private residential site. There should be no impact or aesthetics or scenery from the project. The proposed development is replacing existing structures of a like manner in a similar footprint on site. The proposed replacement meets SMTR design and setback standards. As proposed and conditioned, the application is consistent with Thurston County Comprehensive Plan. Public Health and Social Services Department recommended approval of the application, attachment H. Staff from Public Works Department closed the review with no comments. Nisqually Tribe and Squaxin Tribe both provided comments with no concerns, found in attachment I and J. Department of Ecology provided comment and after site visit concluded that the wall is consistent with WAC 173, 27, 170. Those are attachments M, N, and O. No public comments were received for this application. So based on the prior analysis, the Community Planning and Economic Development Department concludes that the proposed project, when appropriately conditioned, meets Thurston County requirements for conditional use permit upon hearing examiner approval.
Great. Thank you. I just have a couple of questions to make sure I'm following staff's analysis correctly. First, the statement in the staff report jumped out at me. It's on page 4 and it says water quality impacts are not a concern as the construction has already taken place and the site has been stabilized. And my question that came to mind when I read that statement is whether or not the county has evidence that there was no impact at the time of construction. Based on your review of the materials, can you make a statement about the department's position about whether or not there were impacts or could be impacts from construction in 2016?
I cannot make comment to that, but maybe the property owner, Eric, can provide comment on that.
Okay. It just was an interesting statement. Another statement in the staff report that jumped out to me, it's on page 6, and it says no impact. There would be no impact to the shoreline if it's properly managed and erosion control is maintained. Does that implicate the need to take any future actions to ensure erosion control, or is the wall a one and done type of erosion control measure?
One and done. I think just a matter of maintaining if something were to happen to make effort to stabilize and do the necessary review to be completed.
Okay. And your recommended conditions of approval. Condition 1 requires an after-the-fact building permit. What review, if any, happens in the course of an after-the-fact building permit for a retaining wall?
It's pretty similar in nature where it is routed to other departments for review. Environmental health, public works, and then building would review construction plans. I'm not sure exactly what they would require because the wall is already built. If engineering would be required, but planning would kind of provide the same kind of conditions as well.
Okay. Do you know, would a building permit review necessarily trigger site visit by any county staff?
No, not with this review that's already been completed.
Okay. So from reading the materials, I understand that the construction of the wall actually occurred in 2016. So that goes back. Then I noticed the application was submitted in 2019. And at this point, that goes back quite a while. Any testimony about that?
With staffing and people moving on from the county, they have This application unfortunately has been moved from a couple different planners back and forth. It was assigned to me back in May to review
Okay.
for completeness. And yeah, through that, I saw that Department of Ecology had asked for a site visit back in 2020, and that was right when we shut down due to COVID. So I don't know what the circumstances were, if it was missed or if it was that no site visits were occurring. But we did a site visit. I want to say it was maybe in September or August.
Okay. And then I think in your testimony, you answered this question. I just want to confirm my understanding. The shoreline substantial development permit exemption was issued only for the boathouse, not for the wall.
Correct.
Okay. And so the wall itself does not trigger an SSDP.
Correct.
Then my last question for county staff may be one you can answer, but it may be one you want to defer to Public Works. One of the recommended conditions of approval addresses the fact that a construction stormwater permit from DOE might be required. Again, this construction occurred in 2016. I'm just wondering about
Yeah.
that being included.
That's actually a boiler comment that Department of Ecology provided.
All right. So it's basically being forwarded because Department of Ecology suggested it. However, I can tell from their comments, DOE is clear that construction is completed. What, does
Sure.
that condition require the applicant to contact DOE and provide comment from DOE saying no construction stormwater permit is required at this time?
I would suggest that they reach out to the Department of Ecology directly.
Okay, let me just take a note about that. Great. Ms. Adams, anything else?
Not at this time.
Great. Thank you for your testimony. You have two compatriots here, Public Works and Environmental Health. Does either staff member wish to unmute and provide testimony?
Not at this time.
Great. Mr. Saint, anything from your department?
I can discuss the ecology condition.
Let's swear you in, sir. Could you state and spell your name, please, for the record?
Arthur Saint, ArthurSaint.
And you work in public health, public works, correct?
Yes.
Sir, do you swear or affirm that your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Thank you. Please go ahead and speak to that question.
So we're required to make the construction permit application available to all applicants, whether they need the permit or not, per an, the stormwater permit the county has with Washington State Department of Ecology. So this condition is required on all permits because of that. Whether they need a permit or not has to be addressed with them through the state, but they do not need to provide us anything about that.
Okay. So, and I think what you just said is your state licensing, your state permits require you to pass the permit application along to the applicant, but then it's on the applicant to confirm with DOE whether or not the state permit is required.
Yes,
And then
that's correct.
they don't have to report back to you. Is that just because this is an after the fact permit, or is that true in all cases?
That's true with all permits.
I feel like I ask questions about this condition in a lot of projects where it looks like less than an acre is going to be disturbed. And I'm always asking questions about this. This might be the first time you've ever provided those two items of testimony in response to these questions. So it's interesting how, I mean, I have literally been holding hearings for 20 years in Thurston County, and I still learn new things. It's pretty cool. Thank you, Mr. Saint. Anything else from the county before we hear from the applicant? Thank you very much. Sir, if we could ask you, please unmute, state and spell your name, and let me swear you in.
Eric Maloney, ERIC, V as in Victor, ELONI. Oh, I'm sorry.
Worries. Do you swear or affirm your testimony will be true? If so, please say I do.
I do.
Mr. Filoni, what testimony would you like to offer today?
I don't have much other than the wall in some form prior to my repair replace was is close to 50 years old. It's been there that long. The replacement, I think the date of 2016 is wrong. I'm not sure. I think it's closer to 2006, but honestly, I don't know. Not sure if that was in the original permit application or when that came up, but I'm almost positive it wasn't 2016. That was,
okay.
I would say it's closer to 20 years ago because I was much younger and I carried a lot of that stuff down there myself. There's no way I'm doing that now. So,
well, okay. But at this point, 2016 is like 8 years ago, or getting on 8 years
ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was closer to 20 years ago. So regardless, it doesn't really matter. There's been a wall in some form for 50 plus years, I'm guessing. So that's really all I have to say. And the wildlife has all come back. Maybe it's because of the wall. There's gray whales, orcas, smelt, salmon. But I can't prove that.
Do you actually get to see gray whales from your property?
Yeah, I've seen them in here twice. I never saw them before. And what's more is the orcas have been, the last two or three years, they've been kind of regularly making it down this far. I'm not sure why. If they have better food or they're running out of food up north, I don't know what it is. But yeah, they've been in here the last few years too.
I have no comment.
I think it's because of my retaining wall, don't you?
It's not professional for me to express jealousy during a hearing, so I'm not going to comment.
Okay, that's very unprofessional.
Mr. Valone, I do want to point out in the JARPA, Joint Aquatic Resources Permit application, on page 5, it says that the boathouse was completed in 2016, and it says the retaining wall was completed in 2006. So, just to be clear, that's actually in the record, and I had
okay, that good. Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. It's closer to that. Yeah.
I had it wrong in my notes.
All right.
Thank you for that clarification. Was there anything else?
No, I think Abby has been really great. I've dealt with about 6 of these manager types through my permitting process of my remodel, and I just want to say she's been by far the best, the quickest, the best communicator. And the most professional by far.
Great. That kind of feedback is always appreciated, I'm sure. I think planning staff usually receives the other kind of feedback. And so it's nice when they can have this kind of feedback. Did you have a chance to review the recommended conditions of approval in the staff report?
I believe so. I read through the email and I went through most of the pamphlet that was mailed to me. But if you could just go over those so I make sure I'm clear.
Sure. There's only a few, so it wouldn't take too long to do that. Okay. The first one requires you to obtain a building permit.
Yep, I knew about that.
The second one says the project must be consistent with all policies and provisions of the Shoreline Management Act and the SMPTR. So let me ask you on that point, is there any work at all still underway for this retaining wall?
No, it's been done years ago.
Coming on 20 years now.
Yep.
Recommended condition 3 says all development shall be in substantial compliance with the site plan. Again, no, there's no future work, correct?
No.
The 4th condition speaks to state water quality laws and water pollution control. It's just informing you that any discharge from construction of sediment laden runoff into waters of the state violates those laws and would subject you to enforcement. But again, there's no future construction plan. The 5th condition is the one that I asked about. It says that a construction stormwater permit from the Department of Ecology may be required. Again, with no future construction, I can't imagine that would be true. But this condition, if imposed, does require you to check in with DOE on that point. So just to be sure you're clear about that.
Okay.
Those are the only 5. Any questions or concerns about those?
No. Can Abby help me contact the DOE on that, or at least point me in the right direction if I'm required to do so?
Does the application have contact information on it?
Yeah, their comments actually have. I'm not sure if those people will still be around, but I can get you that information.
Oh, okay.
That'd be great. All right. Anything else, Mr. Valone, at all?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Miss Katie, it looks like somebody joined the meeting. Do you think they're here for this matter?
We can ask. I'm not sure.
I recognize the name from the next plat, but let's check.
Is it okay? George Cowan, you'll have the option to rejoin the meeting as a panelist if you'd like to comment on this project.
I believe Mr. Cowan is one of the public commenters on the Sienna Platt and Variance project.
Yeah, and they have declined the
okay
opportunity to promote.
So my deduction is correct. At this point, I'm going to call for last comments. Anything at all from anybody on county staff at this time? Great, Mr. Vloney, last chance for any comments today.
I'm good. Thank you.
Great. All right. Thanks very much. I believe I have everything I need in order to decide the question of whether or not the Shoreline Conditional Use Permit has been shown to be approvable. With that, although I know we're not expecting public comment, I do treat all applications the same. So I am going to hold the record open for 2 days for post-hearing written public comment from anyone who tried to participate but had technology reasons they could not. Today's the 12th. That means the record is held open through the 14th. If we get no post-hearing written public comment, which for your information would be either, it would be correctly sent to Ms. Katie's attention via email, but it could also be sent to the planner or anybody in county staff. If anybody in county staff receives it, they would get it, forward it to me, include it in the record, and send it to you as soon as possible, Mr. Vloney. And then staff and the applicants would have 2 days to respond. So those dates again, the record is held open through the 14th for public comment from folks who had technology reasons they couldn't participate in this hearing. If we get none, the record closes on the 14th. And just to confirm, Ms. Katie, is the 25th the only holiday during this period? It is. So that means the 10 business day decision deadline becomes December 29. If we did receive any post-hearing public comment, again, it would be forwarded to you, Mr. Vloney, and to Ms. Adams. I would ask that staff and applicant submit comments in response, even if all you have to say is no comment. Those, you have 2 business days to do that because of the weekend. That means your responses would be due December 18th, and then the decision deadline becomes January 3rd because there's a second holiday during that period. I'm going to send that schedule to Ms. Katie via email. She will forward it to you, Mr. Vloney, so you can have it in writing from me. It will also be posted online to let members of the public know about their opportunity. We did not admit any other documents during this hearing, and so only public comment and responses is what I would be looking for. Not expecting it. So I look forward to issuing you a timely decision either by the 29th or January 3rd. I wish you guys happy holidays, Merry Christmas, happy
holidays. Can I take down the big sign and do you need it back?
That is not a question I can answer, Ms. Adams. Can you tell him?
The sign can be taken down and I do not need it back.
Okay, thank you.
Great. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thank you.
This meeting is adjourned. I'll be back at 11 for the next hearing.